Is this the end for Ben Simmons in Philadelphia, the end of, quote-unquote, the process as we know it? Obviously, the hot takes are flying following the Sixers' Game 7 defeat at home to the Atlanta Hawks. But what if I told you I could defend Ben Simmons a little bit? What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, 13 assists, 2 turnovers, 8 rebounds, excellent defense on Trae Young for a huge portion of the game, forcing Trae into a, for him, miserable shooting performance. Ben Simmons, quite frankly, is who he is. And what if I told you, maybe he's just not a point guard? I certainly don't fault Doc Rivers for his response, saying he's not sure he can be a point guard on a championship team. Let's think back. Let's remember, you know, at the beginning of the process anyway, when he was drafted. I mean, Brett Brown's decision to turn Ben Simmons into a point guard, I mean, that was heavily questioned at the time. You know, there was a ton of doubt about if that was even remotely possible. You know, he was drafted, people thinking he'd be a 3-4. And in today's positionless NBA, yeah, he's been able to, you know, play some point guard. Obviously, he's got great floor vision. And, the 13 assist, 2 turnover performance was more evidence of his, great floor game overall. I mean, I thought, you know, besides obviously the massive passed-up dunk, which we'll talk more about, and, you know, was pretty incredible for sure, I thought he played a pretty tremendous floor game, just running the team, pushing the pace, finding guys in transition. To me, the guy that Ben's always needed to play the most like is Giannis, who, not really a point guard either, you know, certainly can handle it at times, can, handle in transition, have the ball in his hands a lot. But nobody would call him a pure point guard. Let's think about, where would Giannis be in this playoffs without a superstar scorer in Chris Middleton alongside him? Would Giannis even be in this playoffs without Middleton, without Jrue Holiday, and the scoring that those guys provide? I'm not sure he would be. Ben, he's got a dynamic alpha scorer alongside him in Joel Embiid, who's phenomenal. I mean, he's the perfect complement, I guess, to a guy that doesn't want to take shots, is an alpha, a guy that fears nobody, is, you know, will take any shot just about. But he is a five man, you know, he is ideally more of a back to the basket player. He isolates at the free throw line. He, you know, tries to overpower you, just shoot over you, so on and so forth. But he's not, you know, he's not Middleton. He's not playing a ton outside with the ball in his hands at the 3-point line. He's not, you know, pulling up off the dribble. He's not spotting up, taking a ton of threes. Ben has Joel. Giannis, like I said, has Middleton. He has Holiday. He has the stretch spacing of Brook Lopez. I've always said, you know, the Sixers' failure, really, to me, had in the past been not surrounding Ben with the right supporting cast. And this year, you know, they probably got the closest to the right core around him, right? Having Seth Curry, able to have a big-time Game 7, you know, light it up at times. Having Danny Green, obviously, who they're missing at the end of the playoffs and proved to be a pretty massive loss, you know, not having his shooting ability. Having, you know, Maxey, Shake Milton, emerging guards who can play point guard at times and give you some scoring punch, you know, shoot the ball off pick and rolls, play high ball screens with Joel Embiid. I think the Sixers got closer to figuring it out. Which is why, again, I mean, all this hysteria, the Sixers can't win a title with Ben Simmons. Literally, I just clicked on Yahoo. Top headline, the Sixers can't win a title with Ben Simmons. Shaq was ready to knock Simmons out after a loss, which, shame on him. Just what a ridiculous thing to say, and just shame that that's being glorified, and, you know, all these accounts that continue to glorify the Sixers fans marching in the street saying, fuck Ben Simmons, pussy ass, fuck Ben Simmons, get out of Philly, you bum, you but disgusting. Disgusting stuff that we should give zero platform to. And, you know, I'm the one that's banned from Twitter, but yeah, you know, they'll keep making those things go viral and just people saying things that I hope to God Ben Simmons, you know, doesn't have a phone or, you know, doesn't check Twitter. So he's not being pushed near, you know, deep depression, having to read all this nonsense stuff. Guy like Shaq who, you know, you'd think the loss of Kobe would change him a little bit to have a little more humanity, stop this, you know, fake macho bullshit ready to knock Ben Simmons out. You don't say that shit on TV. Ben Simmons is not a bad dude. He's not trying to lose. What happened to Ben Simmons? He had the yips. He was deathly afraid of being fouled. And maybe for good reason. He couldn't make a free throw in the playoffs. All psychological. Close to 100% psychological. I mean, a guy who, no, not a good free throw shooter by any means, but, you know, who's been career right around that 60% mark, plummets to 30-something in the playoffs, and, you know, teams are doing the hack of Ben, and it just totally gets in his head. And he got deep in his head. He did not want the ball out of fear that he was going to get fouled and choke from the free throw line. And before you say, oh my God, that's just, how can you do that as a professional athlete, blah, blah, blah. Like I think Damian Lee, somebody tweeted last night, none of you have been there. None of you have had the pressures of 30 million fans bearing down on you, demanding a championship, playing in front of 50,000 screaming lunatics against elite competition when, you know, normally, okay, you shoot 60%, you could be tolerable, but you miss a couple and then teams start, everybody starts talking shit, all the media starts talking shit, you know, you start thinking about it, and once you start thinking about it, you spiral. You, what if I start sweating here? What if my palms are a little sweaty? What if I'm a little bit off to the right on this one? You know, how the mind works. It is how the mind works. And anybody who knows and anybody who's ever dealt with anxiety or any of these things know that it's a bitch. And it's especially a bitch when, like I said, you're somebody that's clearly, unfortunately, gotten in their head. Lost confidence in his ability to make a free throw. Andres Biedrins, Roy Hibbert, Andre Kirilenko, Markel Fultz at times, Nick Anderson. I mean, we've seen guys with the yips before in the history of basketball. He's certainly far from the first and won't be the last. It is a mental thing, and I don't know if there's a sports psychologist good enough to fix it or to improve it or what. I don't know what the answer is. But yeah, he was afraid of being fouled. And that caused him to pass up what should have been a dunk, for sure. And I said that live on Hot Mic calling the game, that he had a dunk with over 3 minutes left that turned into a one-point play instead of potentially a three-point play from him passing it to Matisse Thybulle. That was bad. And maybe, you know, maybe the Sixers can't win a title with Ben Simmons. But what's the alternative? No, seriously. I mean, they were the, essentially, you know, you can say tied with Brooklyn, fifth, sixth last team standing in basketball this season, right? I'm not going to give Denver credit to be on their level since Denver got swept in the second round. Utah maybe, you know, so, but Utah didn't even get a game seven. Utah went to six. So, they're basically fifth or sixth best team out of 30 teams this season. What credit does Ben Simmons get for that? He was, for my money, the defensive player of the year. We always say defense is half the game, and all the analytics dudes, you know, talk about how underrated defense is, and, you know, guys don't get their due on that end, and so on and so forth, but then it comes down to it, and, you know, what are they doing? Tweeting nothing but Tom Haberstroh, zero field goal attempts in the fourth quarter, 0-0-0s. All the zeros, Kevin O'Connor, Wob, I mean, everybody just killing him. Offensively, he is a dynamic transition threat, ball handler, passer, reader of the floor, who turns into like a Rudy Gobert type offensively, like somebody who's basically hiding, hoping he doesn't get the basketball in the half court setting. It's really bizarre. It's a really strange player. But again, as the second best player on that team, you're doing a heck of a lot of things to make that series go seven games in the first place, to limit Trae Young to what he did in Game 7, to win as many games as the Sixers have in their run together, to be the fifth or sixth last team standing, better than 25 of the 30 teams. That's not nothing. And again, in our rings culture and the way, you know, media works and everything, it's just viewed as a failure, and the process is a failure, and Simmons is a failure, and, you know, Philly's crucifying him, and everybody's miserable, and so on and so forth. And like I said, maybe they can't win a title with Ben Simmons, but that's not the end of the world. That's not the only thing to basketball. Who can they win a title with? Damian Lillard? Maybe. Certainly Damian Lillard's not going to pass up shots in the clutch. But is Trae Young going to go for 40 against him every single night? There's a trade-off with all these things. You have Dame and Joel together? Yeah, that's a tremendous offensive pairing. You know, you have the right defenders, Thybulle and guys like that around them, maybe it's good enough to be a championship team. You're going to swap Ben Simmons just for C.J. McCollum to get a little more offense? You think C.J. McCollum overall, not just obviously better offensive player, a lot more confident offensive player, but is he proven to have a lot of playoff success? Where was C.J. this year's playoffs? You think you're going to win as many regular season games? You're going to be the first seed in the East with C.J. McCollum instead of Ben Simmons? You're going to be one of the top defensive teams in the league with C.J. McCollum instead of Ben Simmons. You're going to win 50 games every single season. We all discount and have a tendency to totally overlook and, you know, diminish everything the guy did all season because of one play. And don't get me wrong, that one play was massive. It was unbelievable. I posted, you can, if you don't watch even any of my other stuff, you can go to my Instagram page, Scout with Brian, and see my live reaction I posted to that moment when I was calling the game and Simmons passed it up. And I was apoplectic, I can't speak right now, but I was stunned. And he didn't have just a layup. I mean, you know, layup, there's a ton of layup shot in basketball games. Some, you know, varying degrees of difficulty, different degrees of spin, challenge, you know, inside hand, reverses, blah, blah, blah. Whole bunch of different layups. This was not a layup. This was a dunk. He had a point blank dunk. Trae Young was in foul trouble. Trae Young is not going to jump and, you know, get his fourth foul anyway and give you an and-one opportunity. Trae Young was not even going for it. That was the help defender, Trae Young. And he was late. He was not there. He did not care. He was not going to do anything about it. Ben Simmons passed up a dunk to hand it to Matisse Thybulle to get crushed by two guys and end up missing a free throw. It was bad, really bad. Don't get me wrong. The same way I did a video on YouTube calling, showing the truth about Rudy Gobert, which is that, you know, he's soft. He gets kind of an ounce of a criticism Simmons gets for whatever reason, because again, I don't know, honestly. I was going to give you a theory, but I'm not even sure why, quite frankly. I guess maybe because everybody's so busy blaming him kind of for the wrong thing. You know, the defense is, you know, Terrence Mann had the game of his life, out of his mind, blah, blah, blah. Rudy certainly wasn't great defensively, but, you know, he was generally doing what Utah asked him to do defensively. You know, their rotations were pretty bad. Nobody could guard the ball. The guards did a terrible job. There were a lot of defensive issues that game, but to me, the fact that you could switch Luke Kennard onto him, Reggie Jackson onto him, and he doesn't want the ball, that he couldn't power up over Reggie Jackson and dunk the ball, that he spun off Luke Kennard and had a clear dunk himself and ended up being soft as hell, getting fouled, missing the free throws, instead of dunking on Luke Kennard. I mean, those are the things that, why I call him soft, you know? And that's who he is, and that's why teams have no problem switching Reggie Jackson and Luke Kennard onto him, because they know he doesn't play with a whole lot of physicality. He's not a guy that finishes through any contact, really. He's not an alpha. That's not his personality. You know, but yeah, I mean, the same way Rudy was soft, Ben got soft in that moment. He got scared. He shied away from it, and he deserves criticism for it. But again, the question, you're building a team, you're Daryl Morey. Being consistently the fifth or sixth best team in the NBA, that's not a bad thing. There's a lot of teams that would kill to be in your spot. So you have to be really careful with all this, just trade Simmons, they can't win with Simmons, blah, blah. They've done a lot of winning with Simmons. They've won a lot of playoff games with Simmons. You know, we have such an offensive lens, like, what? I mean, you swipe him for Kevin Huerter, and is Kevin Huerter a better player? Kevin Huerter was amazing last night. Best game I've ever seen him play. Obviously, he's a tremendously talented offensive player, but we think he's more impactful than Ben Simmons? Hell no. I mean, you know, where do we go? What are you going to trade him for Kyle Kuzma? Kyle Kuzma's a more talented offensive player. Right? Like, there's a heck of a lot further they can fall. Joel Embiid on his own, totally on his own, with no second All-Star type next to him. I mean, he's not going anywhere. Maybe a 8 seed. Ben means a heck of a lot to that team. So, I understand all the hysteria. I understand, you know, how tough it is, how hard that was to watch, how incredible passing up that dunk was, and how amazing it is generally that he's just, you know, was watching the edit. Somebody posted his clips of Summer League, I think, as a rookie, and he's pulling up, you know, over and over again, just inside the three-point line, just playing freely, shooting the ball, and shooting it pretty well. And then he just got to the playoffs, and right now he's a broken guy. Just doesn't believe in it at all. 90% of the game's half mental. I don't know exactly where they go from here. I don't think Doc Rivers did the greatest job in the world. I don't think he is the kind of super innovative coach that's going to, you know, find a perfect solution for Ben Simmons. And maybe his brutal honesty about Ben and just kind of how this pairing seems to be at its end. Maybe like Utah and Gobert and Mitchell. Maybe it's time to you know, to trade Rudy, to trade Ben, to try something new in those places that can't get over the hump. But again, being the 5th, 6th, 7th best team in basketball, it's not nothing. And just because you think, you know, Ben can't win a championship, blah, 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 there's a lot of guys who can't win a championship. I'm not sure Dame's defense and Dame's passing is good enough to win a championship. He certainly has made enough clutch shots and, you know, he's an unbelievable shooter, but is Harden's defense good enough to win a championship? Can you win it with his step backs? Is Giannis' shot good enough? Is he going to fall in love with the three or miss some threes, miss some shots, and have the total yips himself like he does at times at the free throw line? He misses a hell of a lot of free throws. There's a lot of imperfections in a lot of great players that have chances to win championships and might do it, might never do it. But there's a lot more questions than there are answers when it comes to how you, quote-unquote, fix this, how you get Philly over the hump. And, you know, it's a tough job for Daryl Morey. It's a tough job for Doc Rivers. I don't know what the exact right answer is. But I know some of the hysteria. I mean, Seth Partnow, I just think, is just awful. I mean, I see so many tweets from him that just don't make any sense, but substantially worse loss than getting swept last year. Substantially. 176 likes at the time, at least that I screenshotted. Probably a lot more now, but what? For a dude that's an analytics guy, supposedly a rational mind, highly rational mind, how can you say something like that? I mean, I get the point about, from like an agonizing perspective, obviously, it you know, stings a lot more to lose in a Game 7 on your way to the Eastern Conference Finals than it does to be totally non-competitive, but like, to call it, like, worse, like, that, like, result is worse? They got swept in the first round last year. That was terrible. Losing in Game 7 of the second round stinks in a different way. But it's sure as hell not terrible. It's nothing to snub your nose at? Just a ridiculous sentiment to suggest, like, it's better to be swept in the first round than it is to lose in game 7 of the second. Like, what are we talking about? All these guys, again, they claim they're against rings culture and, you know, the way we look at things, and you're going to say that you'd rather be swept in the first round than give yourselves a chance to win in a game 7 at home to go to the Eastern Conference Finals? What are you talking about? Why is Tobias Harris pressuring up on Trey at midcourt? That was another Seth Parnell tweet. I don't know, maybe because Trey is fucking killer at shooting the basketball? Maybe because you don't want to play 10 feet off him and let him have free reign to get to his pull-ups and to dictate where he wants to go in pick and rolls? Maybe because you want to pressure the ball, as any coach with a brain would tell you, against great ball handlers / great shooters? What, should we also meet Steph Curry at, like, the three-point line, or would you suggest the free throw line, Seth? You tell me. Why is he pressuring up on Trey at midcourt? I don't know, because Trey's maybe the best ball handler left in the playoffs, best shooter left in the playoffs. Why is he pressuring up on Trey Young? Wow, you tell me, Seth. You were the director of basketball research or something for the Bucks for 2 seasons. Still can't believe calling your last timeout with 40 seconds left, primarily to yell at your team. Pretty sure that was Doc Rivers down 6 with 40 seconds left, calling a timeout because they desperately needed a bucket, desperately needed probably a 3. Okay, yeah, maybe you could say you let them play, you go as fast as possible, you save that timeout, blah, 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 but to imply he took that timeout just to yell at his team, it had nothing to do with yelling at his team. He did that for strategic reasons, to set up a shot, a specific shot that he wanted. Almost all coaches would use that timeout in that scenario. Down 6, 40 seconds left, you could say, oh, you saved the timeout, but if you don't score there, the game's over. So he did what he thought gave them the best chance of getting the highest quality shot, because without a high quality shot, without the best shot they could get, game was 100% over. And they ended up not executing and didn't work, and obviously they lost. But calling your last timeout with 40 seconds left just to yell at your team? There's no yelling at your team going on there. That entire timeout was about advancing the ball, about dictating what shot you wanted, about drawing up a set. Just the lack of basketball IQ from dudes like this is just astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. Clueless. Just clueless. As a lot of the Simmons narrative is, as a lot of the basketball tweets and nonsense on there today, but I appreciate you guys listening. Make sure, again, if you like my stuff, like my analysis, you'll love hearing a game with me calling it live. Just download the free Hot Mic app, HotMIC, in the App Store, code SCOUT, all caps. Be calling a bunch of the conference finals on both sides, as well as the NBA finals on there. We've got a live film breakdown, live chat, and even a bunch of cash giveaways for making your predictions pregame. You can win $50 cash Venmo to you postgame. So check that out. Scout with Brian, YouTube, Instagram, obviously the podcast. If you could rate and review, I'd really appreciate it. And last but not least, patreon.com/scoutwithbrian. Really appreciate your guys' continued support on there. And to my hundreds of patrons, thank you for funding real basketball analysis, nuanced basketball analysis. And again, for even a couple bucks a month, you can become a patron to get more than 50 bonus videos, private chats, bunch of other perks in addition to helping me keep doing this. So I really appreciate it if you take 60 seconds to sign up on patreon.com/scoutwithbrian. Thank you for listening. enjoy the conference finals. We'll have a lot more soon from those. Definitely no clear answer, no right answer when it comes to Ben Simmons, but I hope maybe this podcast has helped you appreciate him a little bit more and realize that he does a lot of things, and we can't let one fatal flaw in his game overshadow everything else. Have some perspective. Being the fifth or sixth best team in the NBA, hard to do, especially year after year. If there was some magic trick to get him over the top, obviously you'd do it, but it's not easy. There's no perfect answer. There's no easy way to get a perfect complimentary piece to bring him to a championship. Thanks again for listening. Talk soon.